Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500, hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
Hello, good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana. In the Upper East region, we are on Air Radio and Dreams FM Bolgatanga. Central region, Castle FM and ATL FM. In the Volta region, we're live on Volta Premier Hall and Jubilee FM Keta. We're live on X Spaces, Facebook live stream and my Joy online interactive app. The Midday News is sponsored by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol, always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Duroplast Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDPE pipes and water tank, the only water storage tank with a level indicator where Duroplast goes, water flows. Coming up, residents of Temanutown intensify calls for the punishment of persons involved in the killing of two residents as they point accusing fingers at the Ghana Navy for their alleged involvement.
We don't have a mock car. We don't have AK-47. We don't have SMG. But we believe in our gods.
And it's very, very unfortunate. We are seeking that.
It is one incident that the discretion of our security officers has been poorly exercised.
We'll hear from the Defence and Interior Committee of Parliament on what should be the way forward. Also in this bulletin, as President Akufo-Addo prepares to commission the Kumasi One Thermal Power Plant, formerly Ameri, GridCo describes the move as a game changer. But the minority NDC has concerns, including the renaming of the plant.
It is, to us, a game changer that will reduce our technical losses significantly.
Also, the Director General of the State Interest and Governance Authority, SIGA, assures that the power situation is stabilizing.
To a large extent, there were some serious meetings went on last 2 weeks between the minister and even the president. Mm-hmm. And some agreement has been reached, which will lead to marked improvements.
Also coming up, antiretroviral drugs said to be part of medical supplies from Global Fund cannot be found after the health ministry cleared 14 out of over 182 containers kept at the Tema port for over a year.
As of last week, there was no antiretroviral drugs at the port. The 182 containers that were left were without any antiretroviral drug.
But the HIV group insists there are supposed to be 11 containers of drugs there.
Yes, there are. As far as our records show, there should be 11 containers.
In sports,
former Asante Kotoko coach Karen Zito tells supporters to forget about winning the Ghana Premier League after 7 defeats in 9 matches.
These are more with me, Mamie Sinyamicha Thompson. Please stay for details. And this afternoon, there's mounting pressure for justice as residents of Temanutown demand that persons involved in the killing of two men there over the weekend are punished. The men, believed to be between the ages of 29 and 34, were confirmed dead and 8 others wounded following an alleged shooting incident involving personnel of the Eastern Naval Command. Youth of the area as part of a procession marking the climax of the Gladio Festival allegedly clashed with the naval officers. The Tema Youth Association is leading the charge for accountability, calling for a thorough national investigation to uncover the truth. Maxwell Agbagbelva, Security Desk, joins me in studio with a statement from the Tema Youth. Maxwell, what are the details?
It says the association is deeply saddened by the tragic events that occurred during the festival, resulting in the loss of lives and injuries to innocent celebrants. It says during the celebration, officers of the Navy recklessly drove into the crowd, leading to chaos and panic. It says, shockingly, this incident escalated further as the officers proceeded to take the lives of two innocent individuals. Mm-hmm. The association says such wanton disregard for human life is unacceptable. unacceptable and must not be tolerated. The group is demanding a thorough and impartial national probe into the circumstances surrounding the incident to uncover the truth and hold those responsible fully accountable for their actions. They say they will not rest until justice is served and the memory of those lost is honored.
Thank you. Max Olagbagba is with our security desk. Now, traditional priests and priestesses of the Tema Traditional Council performed rites to seek justice for the two. They want their gods and ancestors to punish those behind the killing. Kwame Yanka has more on this report.
Two residents of Tema New Town, 38-year-old Christopher Amu and 22-year-old Joseph Ajay, lost their lives after a shooting incident during a procession as part of the Kpeloju Festival. The community has blamed Ghana Navy for the death. Ghana Navy has, however, denied any wrongdoing. To seek justice for the dead, the traditional council has performed rites, pouring libation to invoke the power of the gods, Tema Shipi, and Stu Secretary of the Tema Traditional Council. Ni Amar Somponu II explains that, per their custom, it is important to perform the rites for the deceased.
We are testing the potency of our gods, whether they are alive or they are dead. That's all we are asking for. We don't have ammo car, we don't have AK-47, we don't have SMG, but we believe in our gods. We are invoking them to come to our aid.
Ni Amar Somponu says the community feels powerless and need the assistance of the gods to settle the matter.
Force is also always applied when common sense fails. The incident that could have been avoided if common sense had been applied. Because if people were in the possession and, you know, a car, you are driving your car and you see a number of people in possession, what do? You wait, they pass, and you continue. But you don't drive through them. You've been carrying their displeasure and they will react. That is exactly what happened yesterday. Then, because you don't have guns, you start shooting. We were celebrating a festival. Does it make sense? We are invoking our gods. They should come to our aid because we are powerless.
Meanwhile, Temanya Adewolomo Numo Abodade Hamle II says the incident has marred the festival. This is a bad omen, losing two lives. We do not accept corpses into the community during this period. So for the two persons to have died takes everything away from this beautiful celebration.
Well, a relative of one of the deceased, Janet Emos, maintains her brother died from a bullet fired by the Navy. She wants the culprits punished.
I mean, it's very, very unfortunate. We are seeking justice. We know that people were on duty that day. We know that people are going to get into trouble, but they shouldn't also forget that a life has been lost, which we cannot replace with anything. We know we are Christians, that death is inevitable though, but I mean, you can't help somebody to end his life. This is an accident that could be avoided. So we are seeking justice.
Well, still on this, Member of Parliament for Tema East constituency, Isaac Odamtin, has described the actions of the naval officers as unfortunate and an exercise of poor discretion.
The report I got from a first-hand witness who was at the scene was that a van, which I suppose was the 800 type of van, had to drive with speed through the teeming little group. The guys hit the body of the van with their hands to call attention that he was driving recklessly through them. But I guess because they had guns in their hands, they just got down and bundled a couple of the guys into the vehicles, attempting to drive them. And this was a big crowd. And so in the melee that ensued, they just opened gunfire on the people, shot some of them through the stomach. It is one unfortunate incident. It is one incident that the discretion of our security officers has been poorly exercised.
Well, you heard there, Tema East MP Isaac Odamtin. Now, the Ghana Navy is calling for calm in the area as it promises expeditious and thorough investigations into the allegations, and it's as it forces that the man shot and killed the two men in the community will be brought to justice. Here's Director of Public Relations at the Ghana Armed Forces, Andy Lanyeni.
Unfortunately, the claim our vehicle sped through their celebration and they hit and damaged some of one of our vehicles. A few of them were arrested and sent to the base. The military doesn't keep suspects in our barracks. We were preparing to hand them over to the civil police. And then the youth massed up and wanted to attack the base. Warning shots were fired and we managed to disperse the crowd that gathered. But fortunately, from what we learned, about two guys from the mob were injured, were hit in the thigh.
Well, let's get on the phone lines now and speak to the ranking member of the Defence and Interior Committee, James Agaga. We're grateful for your time here on the Midday News. Some Ghanaians say these alleged military brutalities are just one too many. What does the Defence and Interior Committee make of this latest incident?
Well, first of all, let me extend my deepest condolence to the families of those two individuals who unfortunately lost their lives. I have personally seen the statement issued by the Ghana Armed Forces and, of course, the press conference addressed by the chiefs of Temenniu Town. I think the situation is a little bit volatile, and so I would want to call for calm. The preliminary investigations have been, started by the police and the army itself. The Navy. But I should say that given the nature, the very nature of the, shooting incident, I believe strongly that an independent probe would suffice. That to calm the nerves of both parties, I mean the armed forces on the one hand and the people of Temenniu Town. You see, the armed forces is alleging that the Navy naval base was attacked, but the people of Temenniu Town have a different version of what actually transpired in terms of the facts. So how do you settle the matter? The only way we can settle this matter is to commission an independent probe, first of all, to establish whether the claim by the armed forces that they responded to an attack on their personnel by arresting some individuals, which then led to the mob action and the subsequent attack on the naval base itself. I mean, these are conflicting facts. If you listen to the chiefs of Temenniu Town and even the member of parliament for the area, his version appears to contradict what the armed forces has to say.
Well,
so we would want to look into the matter.
By you,
as a matter of urgency.
Right. Do you mean your committee will be willing to undertake this independent probe you're talking about?
Absolutely. You know, the armed forces clearly comes under the oversight of the Defense and Interior Committee. And so definitely we will be looking into the matter.
Right.
If we're in session by now, I am sure an invitation would have been extended to the Military High Command to appear and apprise us of the facts, the circumstances that led to the firing of warning shots, which then resulted in the deaths of the two individuals.
Well, last month was a year ago when the Asherman military brutalities happened. Your committee, amongst others, called on Parliament to adopt the report. What is causing the delay? Mr. Agaga, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I'm asking. Last month was a year ago when the Asherman military brutalities happened, and your committee, among other things, last month called on Parliament to adopt a report. What is causing the delay?
I'm sure you are aware the committee is done with its work. The committee concluded with its work and has laid a report. But, Parliament was unable to consider the report before we went on recess. But the committee has done its part. The report was duly laid. And so it is for the leadership to program the House to consider the report.
Mm-hmm. We're grateful for your time, ranking member on the Defence and Interior Committee, James Agaga there. Now, government is hoping to stabilize the erratic power supply from the Ashanti to the northern parts of the country with the inauguration of the Kumasi Thermal Power Plant, formerly Ameri, on Wednesday. Industry players believe the plant, when operational, will reduce technical losses and guarantee reliable supply in the middle and northern sectors of the country. The journey of the plant that began in 2022 at a cost of over $30 million is now ready for use. Chief Executive Officer of GridCo, Ebenezer Kofi Esienyi, says the development is a game changer for the power industry.
It is, to us, a game changer that will reduce our technical losses significantly. I know the gas pipeline that has been constructed ultimately can do about 600 plus megawatt in Ashanti region. We really want to see generators go.
But the NDC minority, in a statement, expressed dismay, arguing that the decision reflects a deliberate attempt by the government to obfuscate its failures in the energy sector. The Ameri plant, made up of 10 gas-fired turbines, cost Ghana $510 million in 2015. The man who signed the deal, former Power Minister Dr. Kobna Donkor, is joining us on the line with more explanations on this. Unfortunately, we do not have him yet on the line, but we'll stay a while longer on the power issues because Director General of the State Interest and Governance Authority, SIGA, John Boedu, says the power situation is normalizing as the presidency, together with the Energy Ministry, takes a more front seat role in resolving the current challenges plaguing the sector.
The cash waterfall arrangement that was not working, which has been resolved now.
Okay.
A specific percentage has been given. Even there was a proposal that says that in this modern times, if you are receiving money on my behalf and there's a percentage I should get,
mm-hmm.
it should be deducted as source.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It should be deducted as source so that one person don't decide whether I want to pay. But the danger is that if you are not very careful and ECG is not able to deliver, you go through the doomsaw again. You understand? So
the situation we faced has been resolved entirely?
To a large extent, there was some serious meetings went on last 2 weeks between the minister and even the president.
Mm-hmm.
And some agreement has been reached, which will lead to marked improvements on the liquidity of these organizations, because a lot of the organizations also depend on them for their survival.
And we have former power minister on the line with us. We're grateful for your time here on the Midday News. What exactly is your problem with the renaming of Ameri and its positioning in Kumasi to serve the middle and northern belt of the country?
Yeah, when you ask your problem, are you talking about me personally or who else? If it's me personally, I don't have a problem with the new nomenclature, except that the public should be told, there should be recognition that this is the Ameri plant being relocated. That is so important, so that the impression is not created in the minds of Ghanaians that this is a new plant. And for me, it absorbs some of us, especially those of us whose homes were raided because of this Ameri plant in 2017. It absorbs us because one of the arguments we made when we were bringing in the plant under President John Dramani Mahama was that because of its modular nature, it could be moved from place to place in the country to meet emerging needs, in particular localities. And so this is the fulfillment of what we had envisaged, that yes, because of the modular nature, there are 10 units, each with 25 megawatt capacity. We can move them around to meet national demand. And let's also be fair, the decision to have generation in the central corridor is not an MPP decision. It's been something that has been on the drawing board, just as there's the need for another box supply point. So
we're grateful for your time, former Power Minister, Mr. Kwabena Donkor. Meanwhile, government plans to audit the energy sector, focusing on the cash waterfall mechanism and PURC tough settlement methodology, following a staff-level agreement with the IMF to enhance transparency and ensure sustainable financial gains. We can now hear from Finance Minister Mohammed Amin Adam.
We have also observed, in spite of the successes we have chalked, that there are areas that we need to pay more attention to, particularly the energy sector and the cocoa sector. For the energy sector in particular, we've discussed the possibility of ensuring that the shortfall in the sector is reduced. The reforms we are pursuing will continue to be implemented.
Well, still on energy issues, in today's Doomsday Diaries, my colleague Eric Asante went to the University of Cape Coast and the University of Education Winneba to examine the impact of the outages on students. Here's his report. That you care.
The song in the background is titled Survivors, a 1979 classic by the legend Bob Marley, detailing how some people amid social inequalities still make a way to survive. Perhaps this is a song most of the students at the University of Education Winneba and the University of Cape Coast are drawing inspiration from amid the current energy crisis known as Doomsday. We're the
survivors. The hostels, the way they give light out is so bad. I have industrial psychology for tomorrow, but because I can't go back, because of the light out, I have to stay till 5 a.m.
The University of Cape Coast covers a vast area of land and is surrounded by five communities. The absence of a generator for electricity in most of the hostels in those communities means students have no option but to move to campus when the light goes off. And this comes with its associated security challenges.
My greatest concerns come to the security. Leaving my hostel to campus becomes very scary because there are no lights on the street.
Eric Asante with our Doomsday Diaries today. And that's, you're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 and over 30 affiliates across Ghana's 16 regions. We have sports, and when we return from our break, antiretroviral drugs said to be part of medical supplies from Global Fund cannot be found after the health ministry declared 14 out of 182 containers kept at the Tema port for over a year.
As of last week, there was no antiretroviral drugs at the port. The 182 containers that were left were without any antiretroviral drug.
You're welcome back to the Midday News. Mubarak is here with sports.
Yes, and former Asante Kotoko coach Karim Zito wants the club supporters to forget about winning the Ghana Premier League this season. Now, Zito, who currently is Dreams FC head coach, led the side to a 2-0 victory over the Porcupines. The defeat was Kotoko's seventh in nine league games and are now 16 points behind league leader Samatex.
The moment we are in now, they are having a bad day. So all what I would like the supporters to do is, they should not, you know, the way they were hooting and shouting at them brought in the psychological point of coaching that fear of failure can lead to fail. So I would like to take this opportunity to plead to our supporters. Now we should forget about the league. We should try to end it. We should make peace with reality. The team is not in good shape. So the shouting and the hooting will not bring it back. But patience and focus can bring it back.
That's former Asante Kotoko head coach Karim Zito.
Thank you, Mubarak. Now, no antiretroviral drugs at the port. At least that is what the Ministry of Health is saying after finally clearing 14 out of 182 containers of medical supplies stuck at the port, Tema Port. HIV patients and health NGOs pushed for the containers to be cleared after over a year's stay there. Now, the detention of the supplies was due to third-party charges, demurrage, among other penalties. But after over a year, the ministry claims there are no antiretroviral drugs currently there. PR of the ministry, Isaac Ofeba, indicates the remaining containers will be cleared by close of this week.
As of last week, there was no antiretroviral drugs at the port. The 182 containers that were left were without any antiretroviral drug.
Wait, I need to understand this. Are you saying that there aren't any antiretroviral drugs at the port?
No.
Not even one container?
No.
So what are there?
Mosquito net, 168 containers. Then we have the malaria and then the TB that makes up the 14. Seriously, there was no antiretroviral drug.
So was there some form of miscommunication or what?
Miscommunication and the issue at the time, if you come out to say that we don't have antiretroviral drugs and what we have is a mosquito net, doesn't mean that the antiretroviral drug is more important than the mosquito net. So what the ministry was focused on doing was to clear the goods from the port.
Well, the chairperson for the Ghana Coordinating Mechanism for the Global Fund and president of the Ghana HIV and AIDS Network, Ernest Amwabing Otten, insists there are supposed to be 11 containers of HIV drugs at the port.
The 14 that were cleared were basically malaria.
Are there antiretroviral drugs at the port as we speak?
Yes, there are. As far as our records show, there should be 11 containers.
11 containers of antiretroviral drugs?
Yes.
But the ministry says the remaining containers at the port are all mosquito nets. And they go on to emphasize that they aren't rationing any drugs and there are enough drugs available for treatment of patients.
It is understandable that at a time like this, there will be some efforts to do a lot of damage control because I'm not sure they're happy about the press conference in the first place and the sort of issues it has brought. So one can understand the kind of damage control they are doing.
Well, Joy News has cited documents that show the list of drugs supposed to be at the port. Head of our health desk, Fred Smith, has details of this and joins me in studio. Fred, what are we learning?
Well, the document we've cited details the schedule for deliveries mm-hmm. from the Global Fund to Ghana.
Right.
And they have 6 different dates for deliveries. One in December 2023, one at the end of January 2024, one second week of February, third week of February, first week of March, and there's a special clearance that's supposed to be done. In all, there are 435 containers for the contract which was signed in August 2023, mm-hmm. and they are expected to be cleared. Those are the ones we're talking about. 186 of them have already been cleared, and I give you the breakdown. All of them have malaria medications and mosquito nets in them,
okay.
except the delivery for end of January 2024, which has 3 containers of HIV medications. Then there's the second week of February delivery, which has HIV medications in them, also 8 containers.
Okay.
That tallies with the 11 containers that we heard the HIV campaigners say.
We're grateful. Fred Smith is head of our health desk and will definitely be delving more into this situation. Well, as Ghana races against time to secure a deal with bondholders to unlock more than $360 million as part of the IMF deal, former finance minister Setepe is warning the negotiations will be tough. Ghana has secured the staff level agreement after a second review of the extended credit facility of the IMF, but the executive board of the fund demands that Ghana obtains needed financing assurances from its external creditors before passing the second review, which will eventually cause the release of the scheduled $360 million. Listen to IMF Mission Chief for Ghana, Stefan Rode.
In terms of the next steps and given Ghana's strong progress under the program, it is important that the authorities reach agreement with their official creditors on this memorandum of understanding that I talked about earlier. And we look forward to the authorities' continued efforts to reach this agreement and the other creditors as well, in line with the program parameters.
But reacting to this development, former Finance Minister Setepe said the negotiations will be tough for Ghana.
We should work as expeditiously as possible on this matter because we have the experience of other countries like Zambia and the rest, which took nearly 2 years for.
Setepe is former finance minister, and that brings us to Max and Jackie. What's trending?
Yeah, what's trending? Oh no, wait. First, let me ask you. have you ever experienced a heartbreak?
Of course.
Oh, really?
What about you, Jackie?
I don't know.
Yes, I have.
Oh, really? Well, then I'm...
I haven't.
Oh, okay, so you can't relate.
I can't
relate.
You haven't had a stone. No. Martin King Arthur, popularly known as mm-hmm. Kofi Kinata, has released a new song on his birthday.
I'm a fan of Kofi Kinata.
Yeah, and it's titled Ifie Kuma Broken Heart.
Yes.
Yeah, Kofi Kinata is 34 today.